It's another Zero RB Friday here on Splash Play. How's that different from any other day? Well, sometimes I draft running backs, but today I won't. Zero RB no matter what. Draft number 39 for me in this best ball season. Of course, the NFL draft still coming up. Free agency afoot. Some fun rumors going around, though, including the fact that apparently might be Drake May to the Vikings. Supposedly, they're trying to make a move up to 3, not 4, which would change some of the J.J. McCarthy love that I've had in my heart. Drake May, probably a better fit for that team, even though, as we talked about, catchable ball rate from at 60%, not the best. Definitely more in an AR range than you want to see for a guy who's going to be treated like a true kind of passing deep ball kind of thrower like Drake May. That said, though, would be fun to get Jefferson and Drake May today with that in mind, and we will see what the room gives us. Should be less regulars than usual. Did give a little ping here for two people in the big board. We do have FFB Holes, who is not drafting that well the other day. Our guy Carlos in the 3-hole, new probably signed up. Hopefully that's going well for him. He is going to hopefully draft a good team, and everybody else, we'll find out. Pick coming up here, and look, I am stoked at the idea of Drake May going to Minnesota. Ja'Marr Chase, I'm fine with. You know, again, T. Higgins leaving Cincinnati would be a pretty big upgrade for Chase if that still were to happen. Chase himself on his own, perfectly fine. But I'm a little more excited for Jefferson still. He was my 101 last year. He would be, for the most part, this year. Just the talent too huge for me. And Drake May going there, for no matter whatever flaws I want to say, do you think he's QB3 to me in this class, behind Jaden Daniels, behind Caleb Williams, not in that order. I do think for Justin Jefferson, having a guy who's going to be a willing deep ball thrower, it's going to be a close opportunity for him to what it was for Kirk Cousins and probably for Jordan Addison too. So I'm excited by that rumor. I think it'd be a great one. Even though McCarthy going to the Vikings would be good too. May to the Vikings would be, I think, pretty huge for that offense. Stuff from Scotland, going to get a freedom for not being able to use Underdog. Wow, Dan McIver here. Shout out Scotland. I don't know much about Scotland besides Rowdy Roddy Piper, and I suppose Braveheart as well, but freedom! I don't have any paint on, though, I feel like. Though, would it be like Stolen Valor if I had paint on? You guys tell me. I'm watching Shogun now. Shogun on FX, also on Hulu is where we're watching it. A sick show. Very much enjoy that. Game of Thronesy, but with Japanese samurais. Hard to get that argument from me. And very much nice to see, too. There was an 80s version of that show. Very white guy driven. Very white guy is the hero thing. This one's pretty evenly balanced, but sick show. Sick show. Shogun's excellent. Got Jefferson at 108. Well, Cody giving me the nice thing and then the old fuck you on the back half. But look, I'm taking Jefferson at 4. To me, if you're getting him at 8, fantastic. If he's going after Amon-Ra St. Brown, I just don't think that's correct. Amon-Ra's a great player, a guy that I thought last year had a shot to be the 101, but another year for Jameson Williams, the year 2 to year 3 leap, and he's missed enough time as well that you really make the case. This is his first shot to make a big leap, assuming he doesn't get suspended for gambling again. And Sam Laporta, the year 1 to year 2 leap, and then Jahmyr Gibbs, also the year 1 to year 2 leap. I don't think it's going to get better for Amon-Ra. He might get more efficient if he keeps, you know, 8 targets a game, 9 targets a game, and is more efficient. That'll be good for him. But his ADOT's always going to be so low, it's not going to change. So I think for him, I think we've seen the ceiling. Ceiling's okay game to game. Ceiling can win you a Best Ball Mania tournament, but I'd rather have Jefferson for the talent. This sounds like it's worth watching. All right, we're influencing the people of Scotland now. Shout out, Dan. Glad to hear we're going international. I know Canada, we have a lot more viewers in there than I personally acknowledge, but obviously this is an American show first and foremost here. We support Donald Trump, and no, I'm probably very singularly American, I presume, in a lot of ways, but in some ways less so. Davante Adams goes at 15 here is kind of interesting, by the way. That is something I think is going to happen more once we get in the more casual period of drafting. I think sharp drafters are down on Adams, but I think Adams getting Gardner Minshew a good thing for him. Some rumors as well tying them to a Michael Penix perhaps later in the first round. That'd be okay, I guess. He is a willing deep ball thrower, even though he's not that good, not as good as the other guys to me in the class by a pretty good margin. I'd rather have Bo Nix personally. But either way, Barkley goes, Saquon goes, pick 20. Yeah, whatever. Man, if this weren't a zero RB day, I feel like Achane would be a pretty nice pick here. Ayuk, things could get better. Things could get worse. Diggs, I think, a little bit undervalued. And I think Diggs as well is going to rise as we do get closer to normal people drafting. I'm going to go Diggs here. The thing is that I've seen Diggs go at 30, so I don't know that Diggs is actually a great pick here, whereas Ayuk you never see go much later. But we're going to start the team here, Jefferson and Diggs. And, you know, last year in a BBM, in any tournament really across best ball, you could not have gotten this pairing. So I still think that's kind of fun. And Diggs, I think, will be a beneficiary from not having Gabe Davis out there. Somebody right now has to run the go routes, has to be the deep downfield boundary receiver. They don't have that guy yet. If they bring in Brian Thomas, then this theory is out the window. But it's not, you know, Curtis Samuel, in addition, it's going to take targets away, but he's not going to get the routes that a Gabe Davis got, or he shouldn't, you know, if they're a smart team, and I think they are. Achan goes to Carlos at pick 22, so no discount falling there. Honestly, not a lot of discounts at all so far in this room, so nothing too crazy. Rashee Rice, pick 27 there. I would be happy with most of these receivers at this point. Not a Josh Allen guy, though I do have Diggs, so he could make more sense, and we would still be 0RB, but it's not the fun 0RB that I want to see. For me, 0RB, having fun with it, means getting elite wide receiver talent, and I'm going to do that with Malik Nabers, possible wide receiver one in this draft class, with Marvin Harrison maybe playing himself out of that spot. Still think that Harrison should be the wide receiver one, being that traditional bigger-bodied guy, but Nabers, very exciting. Talked about his numbers a lot in the past, but we haven't done it in a while on stream. So for Malik Nabers, the main case for him, number one, great downfield target, EPA of 1.6 downfield, throws 20 plus air yards, would be the best in the class besides, I think, is Brian Thomas a little better? Yeah, Brian Thomas is a little bit better. Speaks to Jaden Daniels as much as anything, but still both guys, elite downfield players. Marvin Harrison, though, again, just a different kind of player, bigger player, guy that should be able to position himself well. The downside for him, not competing in the combine, not competing in the pro day. Some NFL teams can get spooked off by that. And, you know, the guys picking at five, at least, the Chargers, boomer kind of philosophy there. I think they're the kind of team that might get a little bit spooked off, though. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh saw Marvin Harrison as much as anybody, so he probably shouldn't be, but, you know. Fun start. I mean, look, I think any time here, if I took Josh Allen, I don't think it would have been an unfun start, but it wouldn't be that fun. So yeah, anytime you load up on wide receiver early, I think it's going to feel more fun. And the main challenge is deciding when to pull, you know, when to hit the brake pedal on wide receiver, go to other positions. And we've been doing that really well lately. I think I have a good feel for ADPs right now. Really, this team here, Randy Moss, making mistakes to me, taking Adams, taking ATN here, two guys who I've seen on stream go 13 spots later, both of them, you're really bleeding the value out of your team right away by reaching for these guys. And I think that is one of the bigger mistakes that you see times, you know, drafters, not to make it a bad versus no bad thing, but less experienced drafters, I think you see make that mistake a little bit more. He does get his Jalen Hurts correlation though, so good for him. Really, I mean, I guess he got contrarian by not taking Devontae Smith with that, but would rather have Devontae Smith. I'd rather have Cooper Kupp and Keenan Allen personally. I'd rather have Sam Laporta personally. Like ATN to me, we know what they want to do as a team. They want to give more carries to Tank Bigsby. Is that going to be a good thing for the team? We'll find out. If Tank plays like last year, no. If he improves like guys normally do year one, year two, it should look a little bit better. But I think Travis ATN at 34, again, he's going close to 50. I think that ADP is firmly on a downswing. You really being mindful of when you're buying guys, a big part of these processes. As I talked about, actually, Pete, our pal Pete Overzet, of course, did a nice video over at the Deposit Kingdom channel, his YouTube channel, a short form one talking about the 10 tips he got from people like me, Bynum4, Corain, Davis, all the guys out there, all the guys you'd expect to be in a Pete video. I think our guy Tom Strachan as well. But go check that video out. And my feedback was about, hey, just market data, people being oversensitive to everything that happens, really reactionary in a way that we're being almost prisoners of the moment. And I think for some of those drafts, we're seeing that look more pronouncedly. And, you know, it's just for Randy Moss here, you got to be conscious of what's going on here where the market is moving that aggressively, you know, so frequently. It's a flip out Friday. Hopefully not. Our guy Michael Thomas not in this draft room, so he's still thankfully on a hiatus. He can sneak in now, though, because he is a paying member, so he has access to the Discord. You can see when there's a couple spots remaining when I ping you guys, but let's make our pick here. We have Jefferson, Diggs, Nabers. You know, we did pass up Jamar Chase, and I would think that taking T. Higgins would make sense then. Obviously, Higgins also has the out potentially being traded. He would like to go to Baltimore. He would like to go to Houston. He would like to go to Buffalo. He wants to go anywhere where there's a star QB. Whether it happens or not, we'll find out. But either way, for the week 17 of it all, getting leverage on Jamar Chase directly, or for just the fact that Higgins can get a better outcome, be on a better team and be the wide receiver one, or maybe not a better team, but be on a team where he's the wide receiver one, a better situation for him. I'm happy to take T. Higgins in this particular draft. I've never watched Miami Vice. I've not watched, I mean, not the original I watched as a kid. I remember in the 80s when I was a very, very little child, I made my mom dress me up as Don Johnson because that was the thing when I was like, what, three maybe? So I wore a little Miami Vice suit. That's the best Miami Vice I have. That and occasionally doing cocaine, like very infrequently though. Done coke less than 10 times in my life. So I'm not full Miami Vice here. Carolina PJP, six, I finally gets to watch the show live, waiting for the tilt. No, the tilt's not a feature of the show. The tilt is just an occasional sidecar dish. Side dish even, you could say, if you want to use actual words. All right, we know coming up with my pick, there are some guys on the board that I like. Terry McLaurin, I like. AR, I like. Zay Flowers, a lot of Baltimore potentially bringing in somebody else that doesn't feel great. Trey McBride at breaking the tight end fast wouldn't be a bad thing either. Are we going to play the hits? No, you know what? Let's not play the hits today. Let's do Jayden Reed. Let's go for a little Minnesota Green Bay thing again. Obviously not likely. They're going to play in week 17 after they just played in week 17 last year, but two top contenders in the North and two teams that probably on the cusp, I guess they're not top contenders. Detroit's going to run away with the division, but they're two teams that could probably be playing for a wild card in the North in week 17. So I could see that being a matchup they go back to potentially, but either way, we'll play the divisional correlation. Team so far, zero RB Fridays here in full effect. Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins, and Jayden Reed. Would have been happy to take Terry McLaurin. Would have been happy to take Zay Flowers, I guess, who just is dropping. I think people may be concerned about Baltimore adding somebody else. Enough rumors for sure, but Zay at this point. Zay at my pick was not a bad pick as a discount. Isaiah pick 54 for this guy, not bad either. I'm sure the Lamar guy wishes that he'd fallen a little bit more because that would have been a hell of a scoop getting Lamar at 41 and Zay at 56, but not meant to be. Wake up a year older and just in time for a Spags best ball splash play draft. Shout out to Matthew. Happy birthday, Matthew. Hope it's a great day for you. Even if it's not a monumental one, being alive another year. You know, look, you think about the numbers. This is going to be a real downer take, but you think about the numbers, a lot of people don't make it to their next year, even of your age, even if you're a young guy. So just be stoked to be alive, right? Even on Flip Out Friday, even on Tilt Friday, where everybody wants me to suffer live on stream. We're just grateful to be alive. Keep seeing Mark Andrews in the fifth, sixth round seems crazy. I suppose. I think his values come down relatively enough that I get why Kelsey, Laporta, McBride all going ahead of him. This room, though, kind of down on Laporta. I feel like I've seen Laporta go in the 20s enough. I'm surprised to see him go at 40. But yeah, you know, coming off another injury, Isaiah Likely still there, you know, still taking some reps away. And then again, you have, if there's a lack of enthusiasm for Zay Flowers, if another wide receiver comes in, like it's going to upset Zay Flowers, it's also not going to help Mark Andrews. So there's enough going against him. You still got the spike week here, but I kind of don't hate him being priced at 63 if we are going to make that assumption that Baltimore willfully wants to bring in somebody who's better than an Odell and probably better than a Rashad Bateman as well. I think that's something that gives you some pause on Andrews when you do have, you know, talented guys here and we kind of know the deal for him. With today's knowledge, how would you draft differently when the big board first came out? I mean, I wouldn't have been as enthusiastic for Estime and for Bucky Irving, though Estime clocking under 4.6, 4.58 at his pro day for Notre Dame should get him back on draft board. So we will see. Again, one of those guys, I know people want to talk more about Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson. If Autric Estime gets that Dallas job with the way that he runs, he's going to give you fucking 12 touchdowns this year. So Autric Estime, not dead, guys, even though now he is priced like he is dead. We have a 0-0-5-0 going. Of course, things looking beautiful on that front. Really, at receiver, it's not the most exciting at this range. But we're committed to the bit. Christian Watson, come on down. 0-0-6-0. Christian Watson is your wide receiver six. How could that go wrong? Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins, Jayden Reed, Christian Watson, officially an extreme zero RB team. Is going 12 picks up for Christian Watson the best move? No, no. But we got the bet on Green Bay, and hopefully this way we can complete the bet on Green Bay on the way back. Anyway, besides that, I'd probably take Brian Thomas more. I'd probably take Marquise Brown a bit more. I was down on the talent, and I didn't want to play into the outcome that did seem fairly likely, but still was not an outcome that like I was particularly stoked about, because I think there are better ways that it could have worked out and being that KC deep target. For Marquise Brown, some damning stats for him. His yards per out run last year, basically in line with MVS and Noah Gray, I believe. So look, I'm not the hugest Marquise Brown guy, but you know, I think that's one that I would have probably bought in a little bit more. Jordan Love is where I'm going to reach for here. Again, just going to lock down the Green Bay stack. At this point, they matter a lot for me, and I'm not going to get a shot at Jordan Love on the way back. Could have taken Joe Burrow as well with the T. Higgins, but I think there is still a chance that T. Higgins gets traded. Obviously, his request right now is out there. Cincinnati would like to bring him back and is probably pretty happy to force him to come back, but I just don't know how that's going to go yet. And somebody, frankly, enough teams want Brandon Ayuk, enough teams wanted Mike Williams, somebody that is going to want T. Higgins, and we'll see if they pay that price tag, especially if they don't get Ayuk. Well, you know, how much is desperation set in for T. Higgins? He could still get one more positive outcome. Anyway, other moves here to fit Charles's theme. The Mixon buying in on him would be one. I think, I mean, this was one that I was not doing, but not taking Rashee Rice at ADP was probably a move. Saquon, when he fell more in drafts, probably should have been more conscious of that. Now that he's even getting frothier in this room, he goes 20, but we've seen him go with the turn a lot, including in the first round for Saquon. So that's probably one. But really, for anything, for me, it would be kind of trying to piece together guys that, you know, I played the downside on, but I should have played the upside on. And a lot of the aged running backs will fit that criteria. But I'm happy still, like my Trey Franklin exposure. I never really got too reachy for him because people would get too reachy for him in stream rooms anyway. So that didn't hurt me too much. And frankly, his ADP has only come down like 10 spots anyway. It was just in those, in the splash play rooms, he was going the 70s pretty frequently. So I didn't really make any egregious mistakes there. I don't think I've gotten bad CLV on anybody besides Roshan. Roshan's the one that I was taking a pretty good amount early. And obviously, you know, DeAndre Swift going there. That's the move that's not looking that good now. Yeah, more Josh Jacobs, same thing. Again, any of the aged running backs, any of the older running backs that were going, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, sometimes Derrick Henry saw go in the 70s on stream, just buying those over and over again, knowing that they would land a good outcome and that the public get really frothy for them immediately. I think those are kind of the plays that would have been nice to have. But ultimately, you know, if you have those plays in your portfolio, you still have to get a lot of things right around it. So that's the hope, is that, you know, it doesn't kill me. And especially in pods I was in, you know, I never felt like I've been going up against teams where I'm like, whoa, this team nailed everything. So that's the hope, is you survive the pod and not getting that right. And then now you can adjust a little bit better. Trey Franklin at 126 definitely would be a steal. He still has a very good outcome. Ooh, 25% fields. I never got that heavy on fields because I was worried about him. Then when the Atlanta rumors were coming, took him a little bit more and then dialed that back when it seemed like that wasn't happening. So I did not get bit by Justin Fields, thankfully, but I certainly don't begrudge anybody who did. All right, we have a 1060. We can take another Green Bay receiver, but I think we've made our bet here with Jaden Reed and Christian Watson, and I'm happy to have those guys be our bet. Nick Chubb going to miss a large portion of the year. I don't think he's the guy for a zero RB build to have. Javonte Williams, though, showed bell cow back flashes. People I know like McLaughlin, I do think that Javonte gets the first crack to be a 20-plus touchback. And you know, Sean Payton, the more boomer he gets, the older he gets, the less progressive he gets, I think you could just see Javonte salting away a lot of touches because he's there and he's a guy that can take the touches. Sometimes that's enough. Drafted a beast of a team last night. What, just a bunch of Georgia guys? It sounds like for our guy Adam here, but I'm sure it was a good one. Wish I had more fourth round Drake London. That's also a good one. Drake London's price tag is probably not going down. Do you think, again, cooler heads will prevail for drafters once BBM hits? And I don't know Drake London holds up, but I would say that Drake London probably comes like closer to this range. Adams and Diggs come closer to this range. DJ Moore, Nico Collins move back a little bit. That'd be my guess for wide receiver there. Oh, no UGA guys. All right. Well, yeah, look, Adam, you're not a paying member. I don't review teams. I'm not paying members, but I hope if you're happy with it, that's all that matters. Even though you didn't get your core guys. Got a Hurts and Fields team that I've had an emotional roller coaster on, a slow draft the last 2 weeks. Wrapped it up with Devontae Parker and Darnell Washington. Oh yeah. The Fields Darnell Washington connection is going to be a huge one. Pittsburgh fans are going to be lining up to see Justin Fields throw balls to Darnell Washington. I'm going to get a share of Zamir White here. I think that with the Chubb injury, I'm just not a Chubb buyer right now. I think he should come down. Tyjae Spears still vestigially price tagged a little bit higher than he should be because of the pre-Tony Pollard days. Zamir White, though, his challenger is Alexander Mattison. So for right now, I think he's a little bit underrated. And frankly, just a beast of a workout guy. We talked about him earlier in the week, the country strong stuff. He's given quotes about of him lifting and throwing bales of hay, moving horses, bench pressing pigs. I made up the last one, but you got to assume it's all part of the workout there. For Zamir White, I'm buying in for right now. Still a worry that the Raiders would be a perfect fit for Jonathan Brooks, where you let Zamir White, you let Alexander Mattison get you through the first 6 weeks or maybe even just 4 weeks. Then Brooks comes in off the PUP list. And he's full go and you're really meaningfully integrating him. But Zamir White at pick 100, I'm happy to do it. At like 30% Zamir drafted Lamont early. Yeah, I was down on Zamir because I really felt like the Raiders were live to either bring Josh Jacobs back or take one of these other guys as replacement for Josh Jacobs. Like, hey, you just do a one-to-one of Aaron Jones to him, and I think you're pretty happy with that if you are Green Bay. If you're the Raiders. But yeah, they didn't do that. So they ended up going with Mattison, which is one of the worst possible picks to be adding to any team. So Zamir White, a guy really low juice, 10% avoided tackle rate, anything less than that, not where I want to be, but he's big, he's strong, and he earned trust last year, and those are valuable things even when the metrics don't align perfectly for me. I think Javonte can be this year's sneaky league winner, under the radar, mid-round, popular, unpopular. Yeah, I don't know about league winner, but I think he's a good part of a portfolio. Like, I think he's a good part of a stable at running back where you're getting a guy who's going to give you a lot of weeks, 8 to 15 points, and then maybe can give you 20 a handful of times in the year. That's where I think he's at. I don't think he's going to give you, like, first-round kind of things, but he could be one of those guys that kind of ends up in the RB dead zone next year where he just plays well enough this year, and then, you know, analytically, he's never been great, so I'm not in love with him on that front. But volume is the thing I see with him, and he's earned volume every time he's gotten a shot to. So, I mean, yesterday in the Arthur Janu connection. Oh, yeah, so, yeah. Darnell Washington being the Janu. Hey, it's certainly possible. Certainly possible. All right, see what we're going to do here. Chase Brown, some running backs are going. This is not great for us. Thought we were lined up nicely in an RB pocket. We will get one of the last good RBs in this range, which I'm happy to do. Chuba Hubbard, come on down as our RB3. Again, we're just trying to shore up RB. Don't think I want to do it with Blake Corum. Team so far, though, we're going to have one more pick after the turn. Jordan Love at QB, Javonte Williams, Zamir White, Chuba Hubbard at running back. Wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins, Jaden Reed, and Christian Watson. And then no tight end yet, so tight end, I do be leaving up to the wind a little bit too often in drafts. Probably one flaw that I've carried over from last year, but I'm happy punting tight end, making it work. Jamie Gillen is from my hometown, Scottish Hammer. I don't know who that is, but okay. Again, go Scotland. We're rooting for the Scots today. We're all blue and white. Those are the colors, right? I think so. We're all blue and white on the inside. 1360 here. Don't need to do QB yet because we are trying to play the Drake May side. Justin Jefferson could take the flyer on Hockenson. Gotta tell you, I don't get a lot of Gus Edwards, and at this point, we're just trying to build a sound running back room, and I think I am going to do that. Jerome Ford would be my guy over him, but Ford goes, I'm gonna add Gus Edwards in here. Team so far, a 1-4-6-0 with Jordan Love at QB, at Javonte Williams, Zamir White, Chuba Hubbard, and Gus Edwards at running back. Wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins, Jaden Reed, and Christian Watson. So we got the Green Bay stack. We got a pretty good running back room now. Could still be better. Would like to get two more guys of some value, but feeling good about that. Like the QB stack. Thank you, Fantasy Dog. I appreciate it. How are the Titans tight ends when Arthur was OC? I mean, they weren't that noteworthy at that point. It was the Austin Hooper period. Trying to remember, but you know, Arthur Smith is a tight end coach. His lineage does favor tight ends. That's the hope. But I still don't think Darnell Washington, to be clear, like we're joking about him being a guy, but he does, you know, involve tight ends a little bit more. The irony though, is that he did not get Kyle Pitts involved. So your mileage may vary. The Giants punter. Yes, of course. I definitely keep close eyes on all the punters and all and their locations of birth and nationalities. John Smith had a big year. He had a big year. A lot of it, though, was kind of deep plays and stuff like that. You know, I don't know that I'd expect it to be a great year. Though this year, Kyle Pitts and Jonas Smith's years were pretty one-to-one. DFS pricing, too, like every week, they're basically around the same price tag. But it was because Jonu would break like 1 for 80 and Kyle Pitts would have 4 for 40. So not two different teams. Oh, in Tennessee, that's true. He did have the big year. Like that's what, yeah, it's got him the Patriots contract. But yeah, not in Atlanta. In Atlanta, he was just getting, you know, very low volume. I think his, let's check his numbers from last year. Jonu last year was getting 4 intended touches per game, which honestly, you know, could be worse, but definitely that middle of the pack of tight end. 22% target per out run rate by comparison. Actually, is that right? No, 20% target per out run rate. Sorry about that. And Kyle Pitts, 20.5% for Kyle Pitts, target per out run rate, 5.4. Yeah, they're basically the same player. Just, I think, better touchdown variance for Jonu because he can, you know, he can catch and run one. Oh, Delanie Walker. OMG Dobbs. I didn't take Dobbs, and I'm okay not taking Dobbs. Dobbs is my least favorite Green Bay receiver out of all those guys. Charbonnet's still on the board, and frankly, I would have come up to get Charbonnet. We lost out on Drake May because this guy took him. I don't know why. So that's not great. I wanted to play the Drake May Minnesota thing, given that that is now being heavily rumored. We're just going to take Charbonnet and we're going to have to figure out QB. I guess I'm going to have to play the McCarthy Minnesota angle again, which is not my favorite. Ugh. Why did that guy take Drake May? Got Josh Allen. I guess maybe he's playing Drake May to Washington. Oh, well. If he is playing that, certainly a savvy play to make, I suppose, or at least was savvy a couple weeks ago. Still Washington, best player to draft for them is going to be Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels looking more likely to be number two by the week. Drake May looking likely to be number three. And the report from, I think it was actually Mel Kiper, said that he's hearing rumblings that the Patriots do not actually like Drake May. Is that a smokescreen thing? I don't know. But when you tie that with Minnesota wanting to trade up, could be New England signaling, hey, we're willing to trade up. And then the Cardinals also this week have said that they're willing to trade. So 3 and 4 up for grabs. It's going to be May and McCarthy, probably in that order. Who trades for who? We'll find out. Who trades for whom? I think that would be the grammatically correct version of that. Ah, fuck. Really got screwed at QB by that guy taking Drake May. None of these guys at this point are really doing a lot for me. I mean, I guess on that point, any of them are okay because none of them are that great. Going to take Luke Musgrave here. We're going to at least have a good Green Bay stack going. Musgrave was really impressed by him. Coming back from the lacerated kidney, having one of his biggest plays of the year in the Dallas game. Really think that the potential usage for him with Jordan Love, figuring things out, is going to look a lot better than it did in the first half of the year. So for Luke Musgrave, think he's very talented. Happy to take him here as my first tight end. Thoughts on Jaylen Warren or Chase Brown for league-winning RB? I don't know that I'd call either of them a league winner. If one of them is going to be, probably Chase Brown is a better shot. Just because that is an ambiguous backfield for Warren. You know you're going to be giving away some goal line work away to Najee. You know you're going to be giving away potentially some efficiency in that Atlanta offense. We'll see. Obviously, Arthur Smith got really ahead of his skis last year and the offense looked less good. But he can be an efficient coach of a running game. Still, though, Najee's going to be there taking X amount of the workload away. Whereas Zach Moss can absolutely get lapped by Chase Brown. I don't think that's the case. I think he'll be the goal line back. Chase Brown showed big explosive play upside last year. I think they're going to tap into that. So I'd go Chase Brown. I don't mind Ty. For this build, though, I'd rather have Musgrave. I need a tight end at this point, and I have 5 running backs. So Ty as RB6 would be okay, but I didn't need him in this particular build. But he's fine. He's basically a bet against Aaron Jones. Probably has some amount of workload to start the year to keep Aaron Jones healthy. But, you know, I'm not the biggest believer in the talent. What did he do numerically last year? Last year, negative 0.01 EPA per rush, 0.09 EPA per pass. Perfectly acceptable running back. Goal line work went a little bit more Madison's way. He only had 0.9 red zone rushes a game. 0.5 red zone targets a game. Actually, 0.2. Yeah, I don't know. Chandler is just going to get a lot usurped by Aaron Jones. So he's an okay pick. I take him in drafts sometimes, especially if I bet on Minnesota, but I needed Musgrave more. He is definitely behind Aaron Jones, yes. like the stream. Yes, please hit that like button. Please subscribe down below. Again, Splash Play. Just show up every day here, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. doing drafts, talking about the rumors, talking about draft strategies to take along with the rumors and all of that. So please hit that like button here. Show some love. And of course, leave a comment, subscribe, all those things. And hit the join button down below. Of course, today is Friday. The reading of names coming up. Where Friday's arch nemesis, Michael Thomas, I now have to read his name as part of the reading of names. As I guess him paying penance for one of the worst performances in draft stream history. All right. Coming up here, 1561. Really not a great pocket for me as well. Just what am I going to do here? Deshaun would be okay if I had any bet on Cleveland, but there's not even a bet to make at this point in the draft. I'm actually going to go Will Levis here, and I think going to try something for tight end too. But Will Levis getting the best coaching he's had in his two-year career, getting a pretty big upgrade in coaching, though, going from a defensive protect the ball kind of coaching scheme to one that will try their best to make him a competent QB like a Joe Burrow. Can he be that? I don't think so. The talent level is pretty different, but willing deep ball thrower, also a willing rusher, even though I didn't really see that last year. So Will Levis to me to bail myself out of QB is what we're going to do here. And well, we'll see what we do to pair with him. How did March Madness treat you? I didn't bet anything for March Madness. I just had the games on. Frankly, didn't pay enough attention because I'm kind of busy prepping for our stuff next week, going to Miami for investor meetings for probably my sports betting app, which I'll put the plug up. But just had them on and frankly didn't even see anything. Besides RJ Davis looking pretty good in the UNC game. Like he passed my eye test, but in the way that Cam Reddish passed my eye test. So maybe not at all. We have Hunter Henry here who would help with this build, and I am going to take Hunter Henry here to make myself a little bit less bad at tight end. I keep forcing myself into like the Colby Parkinson, Davis Allen tier of tight end, not only Ram specific, but just in terms of late round guys. So I'm going to try to take Hunter Henry here, and I'm also going to try to hopefully get JJ McCarthy at some point in the hopes that he can go to Minnesota, he can go to New England. Where would he go besides that? Who else would trade up for four? If the Vikings trade up to three, who goes to four? Could New England trade down with Minnesota, then trade back up with the Cardinals and take McCarthy, which actually would be kind of a savvy move to pick up draft capital if they don't like Drake May? All right, I don't know. I think I could play this. I could play McCarthy going to New England and be okay with it. Won't snipe you for Chig. Thank you, Antex Wall. I appreciate that. If somebody else does, then we'll be mad at them, but I appreciate that. I guess I did forecast that one a little bit. Do awesome content. You care about the viewers while keeping your integrity just in Friday love. Thank you, Christopher. That's very kind of you to say. I appreciate that. Try my best here. And again, this week has been a good week of drafts. I think switching the timing around when we start drafts is positive. Of course, now I do actually tip people off when I'm in a draft room, but those are only the paying members here. Hit the join button down below. And also check the description. If you're already a paying member here, if you're joined, you can join the Squirt Squad VIP channel on Pete's Deposit Kingdom Discord. So if you want to get a new Discord channel, that's where the Spags rankings get put, my weekly data sheets, all that's going to be coming through there now because it's just easier to make sure everybody sees it on there. So get in the Discord. All you have to do is link your Discord with YouTube. Very easy to do, but check that out. One of your new perks if you're a paying member here and you hit that join button. Deshaun at 182. Look, I didn't have anything with Deshaun, so I didn't take him. That's a pretty nice value on Deshaun. Your brutal beats the Kentucky loss. So I did see enough sharp people that I know talking about Kentucky going down, being a thing. Some rumors out there, maybe Calipari done as well. Could be fun. Could be fun to see that be changed over. Really though, Kentucky, the biggest victims of the NIL stuff where just the experience and then guys staying in college for longer, now just looking pretty bad. All right. So we're going to go up and get Chig because the room knows we want Chig. So I'm going to do that, but that's going to be our tight end correlation. Will Levis to Chig, and we're going to hope that hits. And we got one more pick in me. We'll see what we can do. Missed the first half under and a buzzer beater. That sucked. Well, welcome to betting. But yeah, that's it. For probably, though, I would say, as I mentioned earlier, frankly, the Thursday and Friday games, because they've been sitting stale for a week, the lines are about as efficient as they can be. Tomorrow, though, Sunday's games, once you know both sides of that, going to be very important ones to hit plus EV lines because those are not going to be efficient right away. So check that out for Probably. Of course, you can see the details down there. Prep a good splash, get 50% off on probably.com/subscribe. And again, I would recommend it for sure, but I'm biased, but the tool works really well, besides on Wednesday when it did not work at all. When all of our good luck for March, all the units we racked up, fucking Wednesday. But that's betting. Like, that's the downside. I always tell you how it is. Can't market it the same way. Can't market, hey, we got fucking smoked and our top five went 0-5 on Wednesday. But I can't market that we're still up over 20 units on the month. And that's really the main thing here, to sustain the good, sustain the bad, you know, with a lot of good. And probably will do that for you easier than anything. All right, we're going to take J.J. McCarthy, too, to close us out at QB. I think with Will Levis, we do need a third QB. Jordan Love's strong enough that maybe we didn't have to do that, but it's okay. Team so far, we only have five running backs. That is the crappy part, but I closed off my stacks and hopefully different potential stacks here. Jordan Love, Will Levis, J.J. McCarthy, Javonte Williams, Zamir White, Chuba Hubbard, Gus Edwards, Zach Charbonnet. Oh, God. Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins, Jaden Reed, and Christian Watson, and a tight end, Luke Musgrave, Hunter Henry, and Chig Okonkwo. I've learned doing hour-long streams every day, I sometimes let too much air into my mouth. It's an issue. So I end up like fucking Rick from Rick and Morty, just like with vague air burps coming back up. The things that you're not going to get on the fantasy flock that you will get on Splash Play. Jermaine Burton, steam pretty much every room now at 198. Again, there's so many other receivers to take, including Malik Washington, including Tez Walker. I just don't get it, but whatever. Squint your eyes. Jermaine Burton in the 19th round, looking better. 17th round, less so. I can get Traylon. I need running backs more, but I can get Traylon. Thankfully, we're done at tight end. We got three tight ends, or hopefully we're done at tight end. Oh, man. What are we going to do? Three picks left. The real garbage heap time of draft. Rondale Moore at pick 200, by the way. I think too cheap. Big upgrade getting Kirk Cousins for him. And he's going to be the full-time slot guy. Granted, probably comes out in three wide receiver sets or comes out in two wide receiver sets. Probably only playing in threes. But honestly, I think he's more talented than Mooney. They're paying Mooney more money. But Moore at 200, I think a misprice, especially with how enthusiastic everybody is for Atlanta. Like, why is Moore at 200? He's shown spike weeks. He has big upside. He can run those kind of like rub routes that they do in Kansas City. Not that that's, you know, it's not a Rams coaching principle is what you're going to be getting a lot of on that Falcons offense with Zach Robinson as the OC. But even then, like, he could play that, you know, it's probably going to be Drake London playing the Cooper Kupp receiver, the F receiver, I believe is what they call that in that Rams offense. But Moore can do some like gimmicky things and get downfield. I don't know. Just think Moore 200 is not a great, not a correct price tag. Okay. We're on the clock here. We do have some running backs. We do have this bet on Green Bay. So we are going to take AJ Dillon here. Again, AJ Dillon, what's the role at this point with Josh Jacobs there? It's not a lot, but AJ Dillon, from what I learned actually from one of our guys, I forget who his name, but one of our regulars who watches a lot of Splash Play episodes is a Green Bay guy. And let's talk about A.J. Dillon, beloved in Green Bay. He's a local there. Definitely, he was excited to see A.J. Dillon coming back. You know, one person I'm not going to say speaks for all of Green Bay, but I've got more Green Bay sources here than any other best ball stream. It does seem like Green Bay is stoked about A.J. Dillon being back. Zach Ertz, I think a sneaky pick at 215. Right now, no competition for him in an offense that should have Jaden Daniels. I'd be massively upgraded. I think that makes sense. Could make the case here to go seven RBs. Can also take the correlation here that Adam's talking about. Taking Traylon Burks with Will Levis, which honestly, not a bad play, I think. But we'll see what... All right, Carlos, you don't even know his username. All right, Traylon Burks is going to be my guy here. He'll be our wide receiver seven after our early zero RB run. We don't take a guy until pick 220. Team so far, Jordan Love, Will Levis, J.J. McCarthy, Javonte Williams, Zamir White, Chuba Hubbard, Gus Edwards, Zach Charbonnet, A.J. Dillon, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, and Traylon Burks, Luke Musgrave, Hunter Henry, and Chig Okonkwo. So we are playing the potential double correlation here where McCarthy can go to New England, can go to Minnesota. We wanted Drake May for the Minnesota correlation with those rumors that he could be going there. They could be trading up to get him at pick three. But instead, we will play kind of two sides here. and it still works. Cliff plus Ertz plus mobile QB reunion. There you go. I mean, look, I think that for right now, Washington has to add a receiver in the draft. I don't know. With Dotson, they're probably not a Malik Washington type of receiver, but I would think they should add, I guess with Jayden Daniels, they could just add another downfield guy. Like, what if Washington adds Brian Thomas, which that would be a lot of fun, man. McLaurin and Brian Thomas, and then hopefully Dotson can open some stuff underneath along with Ertz. Washington's offense, I know I've extolled the virtues of Chicago's a lot this week and what Caleb Williams means along with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, even Gerald Everett, what he's going to bring, Swift as well. Like, Chicago's setting up him up for success. Washington hiring Kingsbury, maybe less so, but Jayden Daniels, if they do have McLaurin, Dotson, Ertz, Eckler, plus, you know, plus Brian Robinson, the Robinson part more important to me. And then you also add a Brian Thomas or a Troy Franklin, a big downfield weapon at receiver. That would be a lot of fun as an offense. What do you think of my team, Ayuk to the Jags rumors? I mean, it seems like they don't want to pay a pretty reasonable price tag for him, so I don't know if they're going to get him. It wouldn't be great for him, I don't think. Frankly, it wouldn't be great for Christian Kirk, first and foremost. Evan Engram, those guys are going right now at slightly elevated ADPs because of the fact that it's only Zay Jones as the boundary receiver right now, along with Gabe Davis. But I don't know how they pull that off, and I don't know. But they didn't want to give up Zay in the 19th pick. So if you're not willing to give that up, like, what are you trying to do? 3673 here. RB would be okay, but RB is pretty much donezo at this point. I know people like Isaiah Davis. Kendall Milton is out there. That'd be okay. But Brendan Rice, to me, is actually a capable receiver. Could also do Yoshivas here and try to target both outcomes for T. Higgins. But I am going to do Brendan Rice. Brendan Rice, look, Jerry Rice's son, good enough athlete in every facet of the game. He didn't put on the burners like everybody else at the combine, but still a guy in the 20th round. One of my favorite picks to take. Final team here, Jordan Love, Will Levis, J.J. McCarthy at QB. A running back, Javonte Williams, Zamir White, Chuba Hubbard, Gus Edwards, Zach Charbonnet, and A.J. Dillon. Some micro-correlations for these guys. Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson. The Green Bay stack is the biggest feature of the team. Treylon Burks with Will Levis and Brendan Rice at wide receiver. And a tight end, Luke Musgrave, correlated. Hunter Henry, hopefully correlated. And Chick Okonkwo, correlated with Will Levis. So a well-correlated team to close us out here. Let's get the plugs out of the way, then the reading of names. First of all, probably my baby here, a sports betting app that'll change your life in sports betting, giving you mathematical advantages to find inefficient bets at the legal U.S. sports books that we're all going to, not the shitty ones, but on your DraftKings, on your FanDuel, on your Hard Rock if you're in Florida. All of those are available for you at Probably. Of course, we pull the best bets and show you data from the winningest sports books around the world, the true probabilities to price those bets, give you good opportunities. So for March Madness, really try it out. And over tomorrow, especially Saturday games, Sunday games, especially if you play for pay for Probably Plus Live. The live betting will be huge for March Madness. So check that out for yourself at probably.com/subscribe. 50% off the promo code SPLASH, or check the pinned comment and get the App Store version for 7-day free trial. Also, 5 stars interview on there. If you want to get a guest hosting spot on Splash Play, sorry, I know the plugs are a drain and they're going to continue to be a drain. Underdog, grab a good splash, double your deposit up to $100. Stochastic, it's another $4 NBA slate tonight. Unfortunately, $50K to first place, but I'll be putting in 75 entries tonight as preserve bankroll because it's been a tough week. Either way, though, go into Stochastic, use the 15% off with promo code SPLASH. It's a great way to get yourself the best tools and as well as some of the great data. I build my own projections using their minutes. You can also just use the Sims tools, the lineup generator, lots of good stuff on there on Stochastic. Garbage time for NBA. Honestly, a great time to have Stochastic tools and data. All right, the reading of names. Here we go. All of our members right now, which you two can be a part of. And if you are on this list, go check the description in the Discord because you can join the Splash Play Squirt Squad VIP channel on Discord. So that's going to be the main through line for paying members here. But all you have to do is sync your YouTube channel, your YouTube account to your Discord, and you'll be good to go. Robert Griffin the Turd. I'm not doing a silly voice today. Robert Griffin the Turd, Historical Anomalies. Matthew, maybe I could do like a pastor. How about like a pastor kind of voice? Robert Griffin the Turd, Historical Anomalies. Matthew Emerson, Tyler, CLN, Mathology. Rupesh Willis is awesome. I don't want to be like a black pastor. Ivan Black, Rod B. Throbbin, It's Just Porch, Tony Mark, a.k.a. Io, a.k.a. Mark, Rob Van Natten, Brandon Wagner. Do they do a fist gesture like this? Consigliere, Aaron D. Nez, Jake Twitchell, fucking alpha, as all the pastors who curse out there. Mr. Sammy Telesco. I am the KY. Kevin Castro. Lateralis. Lunchable connoisseur. Short Gamer TV. Raining hell upon you. Carlos Manzo. Felix Castro. Al Paul. Chunk the Deuce. Mr. TD. I'm just doing weird hand gestures now. Spurious News. Gabe Davis. Bindles. Christopher Leclerc. Frank Evans. Nolan. Thomas Schultz, Laces Out, Michael Zimmerman, Best Ball Moderate, Crypto Pooper Boo, Golf Course Guy, Kyler Remillard, Benjamin May, Rozzy DLB, M for Life J, Recipes with Reed, Wounded Geese, Beesper, Fried Bologna Sandwich, Seth, a.k.a. Wabi, Galen Stars, Tanner Wise, Paul V, Jeff T, Jeff F, The Jeffs, Craig B, Jason Neff, and Michael Thomas, earning his penance. $5 at a time. There we go. I hope that was fun for somebody. I hope that was fun for Robert Griffin III and nobody else out there. Back on Monday, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m., new drafts. I'll see you guys then. Enjoy your March Madness. Enjoy your drafts. Enjoy your beers. Enjoy whatever. Enjoy this. Enjoy this. Either way, see you guys on Monday for more. Bye.